Welcome to this inspiring message by Paul Van Essen at Greater Life Church. For more information about us, do visit our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
Not to be arrogant or put your hope in wealth, which is uncertain. That's right, I got my car washed yesterday, right?
Yes.
And I'm thinking, here I am, I'm past 50 now, believe it or not. And I'm thinking, 15 years ago, I was driving a car that was, I mean, consider it's like 15,000 or 20, £15,000 worth of car. Pretty, nothing exceptional, but, you know, decent car. And the car I've got now is worth a lot less than that. And it's got rust, which is a bit of a typical problem with this 2003 model, on both of the front panels. And every time I get the car washed, they say to me, you know, you really should do something about that rust. Because it starts to eat a hole, you know. And I think to myself, and I do, I mean, I am not proud of driving around with that thing, but it is what it is. And the reality is, I'm just going to have to deal with all the different financial things that I do, which includes things like supporting what we're doing in Pakistan and you know, blessing people in whatever way, and bringing tithes and offerings and everything to the house of God and all that. And so I can cope. I can cope with some rust in the car. I can't cope with being indebted to God, with not being a generous person with God. I'm just not going to live that way. And so, you know, I think that, and I was thinking, you know, it would have been about 12 or 15 years ago, the salary I got from leading the church would have been at least more than double what I'm getting now from three different jobs, which is not really what you expected back there. You know what I'm saying? It's not really a good trajectory when you're thinking investment. You with me, Daniel? But stuff happens in life. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. Matter of fact, I'm really glad. Because those kinds of pressures have forced me to look at my life in my 40s and early 50s and really wrestle some things out with God, because that was not what I expected, not what I think is particularly fair. But it is what it is. Has God left me? All those thoughts, you see, I get the same thoughts you do.
Mm.
And so you've got to, that's the situation. And so money is uncertain. That's my point. Don't put your trust in money, which is so uncertain, but put your hope in God. Everyone say, I'm going to put my hope in God.
I want to put my hope in God.
And listen to what God will do. He will richly provide you with everything for your enjoyment. Isn't that crazy? So much for the Christians that say, you know, he will take care of your needs but not your greeds. You heard that one? No, we're not here to live it up, splashed up. You're here to be blessed so you can bless others. One of my favorite stories is John Wesley, when he used to preach. He was Englishman, of course. Most of the great men and women of God were English. I hope you realise that. Australia has produced a couple, I guess. Wales has produced a few. Seychelles, I'm not sure. Lucille, maybe you need to start something. But anyway, John Wesley, he would travel. He wrote over 200 books in his life. He travelled on horseback about 250,000 miles. Preaching here, there, and everywhere. Sometimes there weren't a lot of people preaching. Sometimes he would preach outdoors to 20,000 people. And they'd receive offerings, him and George Whitfield and others that did that. And so there was income coming in, you know, and he's doing what he's doing. I don't know how much particularly, but this is what I know. When he died, what was left was a very small amount, like a couple of shillings and so many pence or whatever it was in those days. And that was really important to him. He didn't want to have stored up all this massive wealth. Every time whatever came in, he's wanting to give it, give to the poor, give to the gospel, reach people, help people, love other people, not have this big stack at the end of my life. Now, I'm not opposed to that idea of saving up, especially when you think on what you can do for the next generation. But that kind of thinking is worth bearing in mind, isn't it? Because I've got three children, four stepsons as well, so seven. And I think through all those kinds of things. And I think to myself, as it stands right now, what I do financially for the kingdom of God will be far better than what they do. So you've got to think through all that kind of stuff and say, well, what? Because a part of my life, Dan, I traded 40 or 50, like you did, hours this week for a certain amount of money. So money's a significant part of your life. They're all staring at me like a dog at a new pan, new food. Put their hope in God who provides us richly with everything for our enjoyment. Command them. There it is again. I'm commanding you. Command them. Do good. Just nudge the person next to you and say, do good.
Do good.
So that's what Wesley was thinking. I'm going to do good with what I've got. Be rich in good deeds. Tell the person on the other side, be rich in good deeds.
Be rich in good deeds.
Which by implication takes money, because that's the context of the conversation. Be rich in good deeds and be generous and willing to share. To the person behind you, that won't work, but the other person. Be generous and willing to share.
Be generous and willing.
Just be generous. Be a generous person. Next time you go to Pret or you go somewhere here or Costa or wherever it is, you go for a cup of coffee, I try and do this. I do this sometimes with John Miller, he likes doing it as well. I'll try, if there's someone there buying something, I'll try and pay for them. I've never met them before, I've got no idea. I'll just come in and I don't do it every time. I'll just say, let me take care of that. Because most people are very awkward about that and they'll say, no. And you've got to be sensitive to people. But as much as I can, young people are probably pretty okay with that. We used to do that in Australia. In Australia you have a toll. We should try that when you go to, you know, Wales? You heard of Wales? Yeah. The national park over there on the west side. We used to do that in Sydney, in the Harbour Bridge, you've got a toll, you've got to pay a certain amount to go over. And now they have a little electronic system that most people use. But in the old days, everybody would stop, put their money in the thing, give it to the guy that's standing there with his little cap on, you know, in the Australian sunshine. And we used to make a habit, it was £2.50 or something. And we'd give him £5 and say, that's for the guy behind me, he's a friend of mine. And of course, you never met the guy behind you before. And he'd drive up and he'd try and pay. He said, no, the guy in front of you just paid. Well, that's just a nice way to live. Yeah. Imagine if you did something like that every day.
Yeah.
He said, well, you know, if you did it for 10 people, it just cost you 25 quid. Well, yeah, there's a good reason to be prosperous then, isn't there? Not just for you, but for other people.
Come on.
And if you did that, you could become someone that everybody is really excited every time they see you. You say, well, isn't that kind of... No. That's in the book of Proverbs. The Bible says that everybody likes a man who gives gifts.
Yeah.
And there's another one that says a man's gift makes room for him. And most people spiritualize that. They think that means their spiritual gift. You know, if you have the gift of prophecy, it'll make room for you. That's not what it's talking about. It probably has truth in it, but that's not what the context. The context is... A man who gives gifts. You give money away, you give gifts to people. Yeah. It makes room for you. People, I do that all the time. I've got a boss I work for. Some circumstances I'm the boss, other circumstances I work for a boss. And I have every intention of being the best employee this boss has. And I probably am. It's only a small crew of guys. But I find out what this, she's a lady, what she likes. She likes peanut M&Ms. Big fan. So I'm going to France to minister for people, right? And I go into the little shop like we do. This is preaching. You're still with me here, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do another message later on, okay? Just so you can cope. This is we're doing fine. And so I go into the duty free, and lo and behold, maxi packs. I've never seen it. 450 grams of peanut M&Ms. Two for 10 euros or whatever it was a good price. Had to buy two because then, you know, I'd have to look after one. I come back from, you know, France, from a couple of days off or whatever, come into the boss, see the boss on the desk. First thing I do, here you go. No, I'm not interested in whether it costs me £2 or £5, it doesn't matter. It's just a little thing that tells you I'm thinking about you and I'm happy to be generous.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to do.
Yeah.
We recently did a thing, there was a person at this job that I do. This is an administrative job I do, so it takes me about 20 hours a week. So I do about 4 different jobs, really. But this particular one, that's another thing 10 or 15 years ago I would have been horrified about.
Yes.
And now I'm happy. Because it's made me more like Jesus.
Amen.
And that's the goal.
Yeah.
And so we did this thing, you know, and there's one person there, there's a lady who's getting married. She's about 50, second marriage, whatever, but I don't know her. So we're all saying, hey, let's, you know, we're going to write in a card. And the boss is really good like that. She organises a card for everybody, so we all write in it. And she says, let's all chip in something. You're not quite as forceful as I would be. And so you end up with a stuff, I guess the total team might be 10, and of those 10, more than half of them give nothing. And I'm just astounded. I'm just different, I guess. I follow Jesus for 40 years, so I guess that's what the world is like. But I just think, here's this person getting married. Can I say it the right way? Your pathetic little life. But the, you know, bless him, I love him, but like, if you met him, and you work with people like that, you know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to be around them. You know what I mean? The talk around the place is not particularly positive about a lot of these staff people. And I just think, see, there's the reflection. You get the chance. Instead of buying yourself a third or a fourth beer on a Friday afternoon at the cheap place up the road where you're going to get smashed and then you're going to drag yourself home and you're going to, you know, vomit on your toilet seat at home or whatever, and you're going to moan because, you know, the boss wanted you to stay an extra half an hour and you don't want to, and all that stuff that people go through. And I just thought, see, there's the reflection. If you don't have to give away hundreds of pounds, but just to think, why don't you kickstart somebody else's life and say, hey, we're here. And of course, nobody knows whether I gave £5, £10, £20, what I put in, or what any, it's just a card and a bunch of money. But God sees all that. Heaven sees all that. And there's that final part in this little thing. It says then, in the here, see, command them to do good. Say it again. Do good.
Do good.
And to the person on the other side, be rich in good deeds.
Be rich in good deeds.
And then back to the first person, and generous and willing to share.
And generous and willing to share.
And then it says, and in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves, a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's nice.
The Bible, if you'll feed on it, it has a whole different perspective on life. It's really not very much about this life, it's about the life after. Well, it is about how you live this life, but it's in view of that. When you're generous, you're laying up treasure for yourself. And actually, it's not so much how much you give. I like Lester Sumwell said this. It's how much is left afterwards. The woman that gave the two mites, remember that?
Yeah.
And Jesus saw it and he said, she's given more than everybody because she gave out of her need. She couldn't afford really to do it, but she did it anyway.
Yeah.
So it actually isn't the actual quantity. It's how much you've given out of what God has blessed you with. And the bottom line all comes down to realizing that everything you've got is because God kindly gave it to you.
Mm.
If you've got a half-decent spouse... don't look at me like that, some of you. Life has it. Be thankful to God. Because there are spouses out there. You know, I've been through all this stuff. I don't want to go into that direction. But, you know, have you got 2 feet that you can walk on? Cat's got one. But you're still trusting God. And you're getting healed, aren't you? Have you got eyes that you can see with? It's very easy to notice the little things. I haven't got the latest iPhone. Who cares? Focus on all the things that you do have.
That's right.
And realize that there's a Father in heaven who loves you.
Come on.
And when you have that heart, then you will make the right decisions about your finance. And you don't need me or Owen or Maisel or anybody else to say, you know, 10%, this percent. You don't. God will guide you when your heart is full of thankfulness.
Yeah.
At all that he's done, and you just obey that little passage. So that was pretty good out of a few verses, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Shall we lift our hands to God? Father, you are just awesome. And this really isn't to do with tithes or offerings or anything like that, really. It's to do with our hearts. I just want to thank you. I want you to take a moment to think of three things in your life that you can really thank God for. And say, you know, some of you told you couldn't have children. That's what they said to Caroline. You can't have children. You're four boys. Should I get to pay for? No, you should probably do it today. But see, you can complain. She wouldn't, but you complain. Or you could be filled with thankfulness all your life at what God gave you.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Keep us so, so, so thankful. We bless you today. We praise you today. You're the best. Think of just a couple of things. Articulate them. Think about them in your mind. Realize God did that. And determine to live your life in a way that expresses thankfulness to God and generosity to people. When you do that, you're laying up for yourself treasure in the life that is to come. John Wesley may have given away just about every last penny, but I can tell you he's got some treasure in heaven.
Yeah.
It's not just because he was a preacher. Lots of people that are preachers don't have much treasure at all. It was about his heart. This is not about me accumulating. This is about me being a vessel, a distributor of the blessing of God everywhere I go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I want you to take just another minute to say thank you to God. Isn't that good? That was a meal.